Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. A group of kids were meeting at church one evening, and over dinner the leader asked a few questions to help them get to know each other. And so this is how the conversation went. What superpower would you like to have? What would your superhero name be? What character in the Bible would you like to be? And then came the final question, what would you do if there were no rules? At first, the children were struck dumb. Perhaps they just couldn't imagine a world without rules. They'd lived with them for a while. But they began to come up with some ideas. One child wanted to be able to drive. Another wanted to have all the video games in the world. Another wanted to be president, though he was only 7 years old. As the kids went around the circle saying what they would do, a young girl wisely and quietly said, "I would make rules." I certainly wouldn't have said that. The rest of the kids did what I probably would have done, which is laughed and scoffed at her. The leader quieted down the group and asked the little girl to explain what she meant. She said that she would make rules because she wanted to help people. And she thought that the new rules would do that. When she finished speaking, the kids stayed silent and they thought for a moment. They took back their laughter and their scoffing and agreed with her. They agreed that perhaps new rules would help our world work differently. Perhaps these new rules, the children thought, would help people in need, people who are poor, hungry, lonely, sad, struggling. The leader commented later that it was uplifting to hear that in a world filled with rules, when a question was posed about not having them, the children realized the importance of helping one another. The people of Jesus' time certainly weren't strangers to rules, and at times they too questioned them. In the text for today, the law in question is about the Sabbath. The question, both in its incidents in the reading raised, is whether the letter of the law is more important than the spirit and the intent of the law. In the first incident, some Pharisees noticed that Jesus' disciples were in the fields on the Sabbath day. The Sabbath was a day intended for rest, and the Pharisees were upset that Jesus wasn't following the rule as he and his disciples plucked heads of grain. When the Pharisees questioned him, Jesus responded by referring to the story in 1 Samuel 21 about how David commandeered holy bread from the altar to feed himself and his companions as they fled for their lives from Saul. And then Jesus told his disciples, his critics, the Sabbath was made for mankind, not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for mankind and not, as we sometimes think, the other way around. For Jesus, this was the heart of the matter. Jesus wasn't unfamiliar with the laws about Sabbath. He knew the traditions. He knew that violation of the Sabbath was a big deal. But he also knew that the definitions of Sabbath and rest were less important than meeting real human need. And so he wasn't afraid to challenge the religious practices when they missed the real point behind them. And then there was a second incident. When on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into a synagogue and encountered a man with a withered hand. He put into practice what he had said to the Pharisees, and he healed that man there on the spot. Strict Sabbath-keeping laws viewed such healing as a work, a violation of the rules. And so no one in the synagogue supported what Jesus had done. What did this lead him to? Anger. And he grieved the hardness of their hearts. Both of these stories remind us that Sabbath observance isn't about what or when, but about why. It's not about what we do or when we do it. It is about why we should practice and honor the Sabbath, why it is important for humankind to rest, perhaps to remind us that we're not God. We need the Sabbath more than we actually think we do. God knows us. He knows our need for rest. Keeping the Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus isn't denying the importance of the commandment. He was, however, acting in ways that showed the difference between being lawful and being faithful. These two incidents illustrate that the religious authorities missed the point entirely in their legalism about the Sabbath. They were focused on what was lawful. They preserved the appearance of the Sabbath keeping by being strict and telling Jesus that what he was doing was unlawful. They didn't consider that Jesus was actually being faithful. Faithfulness to the Sabbath can look different from following laws on the Sabbath. I believe Jesus was reclaiming the original intention of the Sabbath here. By Jesus' actions of picking grain and healing on the Sabbath, he was calling us to live the Sabbath intention, that it will help us grow closer to God and love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And we need this more than ever. For many of us, Sabbath observance has become a thing of the past. We live in a post-Christian culture where many activities for our children, our families, and ourselves are scheduled, Sunday morning. We live in a culture which we're addicted to technology, which is always accessible. We live in a culture in which our work often follows us home, and the notion of rest seems foreign. We live in a culture in which we're over-programmed, over-scheduled, and overwhelmed. Sabbath, in the biblical sense, doesn't seem to fit our culture anymore. So perhaps it's time to turn to the original intention, just as Jesus did when he reminded the Pharisees that Sabbath was created for mankind. Because God created Sabbath rest for us, we must deliberately go about finding it. We might even have to get a little more creative and go beyond both the casualness of culture, the casualness that's assigned to our Sabbath today, and the rigidity the church sometimes assigns to it. Sabbath isn't about just doing more leisure stuff, but neither is it about just going to church. Sabbath is about worship of God, to be sure, but also healing and meeting human need, including our own. Sabbath is less about not doing and more about spiritual practices that help us grow closer to God. Sabbath needs to be whatever helps us pause in our working, consuming, and spending to remember that God is at the center of our lives and to receive the blessings He extends to us. That might mean that Sabbath is about feeding those who are hungry, because doing so also feeds our souls. Sabbath can include attending worship with your family and discussing a sermon after lunch or during lunch after church. Sabbath might mean unplugging from the world and having a family game night. Sabbath might include hiking to that waterfall that you've been missing. Whatever fills your soul in a godly direction can be a Sabbath. Whatever helps you grow closer to God is definitely a Sabbath. I'm not suggesting that we start our own Sabbath, if you will, kind of invent our own and give up attending church. But maybe we can look for what God intends in the Sabbath for us. In this text, Jesus empowers us to do just that. Rules and laws, they're important, but only when they help people. The spirit of the Sabbath is to see God and to find rest and nourishment for our souls. So let's learn, let's discover and grow into the true meaning of Sabbath. What would it be like to find a place and time to create a sacred space in our lives? Surely this includes worshiping God, but it can include other activities that are faithful to the Sabbath intention. Be willing to extend your Sabbath. Jesus shows us in this text just how to do that. He defended his disciples for pursuing a needed meal and consuming it. He healed a man with a withered hand. His pleasure and God's pleasure was to grant rest to those who needed it. And his displeasure was clearly shown by those who would withhold rest from others for the sake of the letter of the law. So maybe we should all reconsider the commandment to remember the Sabbath. It's not just a day of rest for you, but it's a day of rest also for those who are around you. So as you follow the Lord's leading and the Lord's teaching, let the Spirit of God move in you and through you as He wills. He will empower you. He will rejuvenate you as you grow closer to God. And you will not only fulfill this great commandment, but you will fulfill an even greater command given by our Lord Himself. When He answered the question, which is the greatest commandment? His answer was to love God above everything else and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.